One of Ajahn Sawat's most common topics of a Dharma talk was on the theme that each of us has only one person, i.e. ourselves, that we're responsible for. Now, he's not saying to be selfish in an unskillful way. It's interesting, though, that the Thai word for selfish, henkatua, can also mean looking after yourself. And he would often comment on that as well, that the Buddha didn't teach you not to look after yourself. You have to look after yourself very carefully. Our problem is that we look after other people in the wrong way, concerned about their behavior, what they're doing, what they should be doing, and what they're not doing what we want them to do. And we neglect our own responsibility, which is to look after our own thoughts, words, and deeds. The passage we chanted just now, I'm the owner of my actions. What are your actions? The things you do intentionally. You have to look very carefully at that, which is why we meditate. Because the source of our intentions is here in the mind. And all too often an intention has taken over and we've acted on it before we realize what's happening. It's like shooting an arrow. It's after you've let go of the string and the arrow is in the air, you suddenly realize, oh, there's that arrow going out. By that time, you can't take it back. So you want to get right here at the breath. This is where the mind and the body meet. Every intention has to go through the breath in order for the body to move. The things that you sense coming into the body through the senses have to go through the breath as well before they reach the mind. So we're at a checkpoint. When things come in, what kind of impact are they having? Well, if you're right here, you see. When your intentions go out, what kind of impact are they having? And also, where are they coming from? You want to see that clearly. Keep your focus inside. Think of it as developing a lens, and it's a focal point that's actually inside the lens. And you need to get an idea of how you have to keep your attention focused right here if you want to see what you're doing and catch what you're doing in time. Mindfulness helps in that it helps you remember what is going to lead to suffering and what's not. Alertness is what keeps you right here in the present moment, the direct experience of what's happening. And finally, ardency is your desire to do it well. You want to focus it right here. As for making changes in the world, if you can do them by maintaining good actions, good words, good qualities of mind, then that's your gift to the world. But your primary responsibility is right here. So you want to learn how to develop this focus, again, the focal point inside the lens, and learn how to keep it going, even when you're listening to other people speak, looking at events outside. Be aware of what's going on inside right here as your main foundation. The world has a tendency to pull us in, but it's only because we let ourselves be pulled in. So many times you hear people say, well, if everybody behaved in line with their innate nature and didn't have any of this awful social conditioning, everybody would be wonderful and fine. But if we didn't have the potential for greed, aversion, and delusion in the mind, social conditioning of a bad sort wouldn't have any influence on us. It's because we've got these potentials in here that outside potentials can pull us in the wrong direction. Outside influences can pull us in the wrong direction. So again, you've got to keep coming back here, here, here. This is where the issues are, and this is where things can be solved, problems can be solved. But it requires that you learn how to keep your focus here steadily, regardless of what's happening outside, or how much you want to change what's happening outside. The means by which you do that are all important. So always be focused on what are you doing? What's the intention behind it? And that way you can live in the world without getting scarred. Because you have to realize that your goodness shouldn't have to depend on the goodness of other people. I was talking with someone one time who was off in a foreign country, traveling alone, and it's in times like that when you get to reflect on your life. And I was thinking about all the corrupt people in the world. And the realization came to him that even though they're corrupt, that doesn't mean I have to be. And there, he said there was a very strong sense of taking a stance and having it meaningful. And it was going to give meaning to his life. That regardless of how corrupt people would be in the world, and we look around us and it's pretty insane, but we don't have to be insane along with them. We can hold to the Dharma. The Dharma is something that doesn't change. And it doesn't harm anyone. I met a monk one time who had been spending many years with Ajahn Mahabhua, and I asked him what it was like, what he'd learned from his time there. And one of the things he said was that he realized that the Buddha's Dharma is not harmful in any way at all. That's precisely it. It's one of the few things in the world that really is harmless. And as you hold to it, you find that you're not harming yourself, you're not harming the people around you. You've got a good compass to keep your thoughts, words, and deeds in line. But looking at the world as Dharma means you look at the movements of your mind. Those are the important Dharmas. And you keep in mind, this is where mindfulness comes in, you keep in mind the Buddha's teaching us on which qualities of the mind are worth developing and which ones you want to let go. That's what the training is all about. And you can train yourself in all places. It doesn't have to be here at the monastery. But the whole point of it is this training is something you carry with you wherever you go. In your work, your life at home. The number one question should always be, what is the skillful thing to do right now? What is the skillful thing to say? What's the skillful thing to think? And as for the various voices in the mind that are giving you different kinds of advice, and they all tend to sound like you, we'll start discerning which ones really are in your best interest, which ones are in line with the Dharma, which ones are not. Learn to dissociate yourself from them if they're not. And even with the good ones, there comes a time when you have to put them aside too. But for the time being, you want them to be the dominant voices. Because you need something to withstand the world. For all the world is swept away, it does not endure, it offers no shelter. If you go along with the world and then suddenly discover you've been doing something really unskillful, the world cannot protect you. Your protection is in the Dharma. The protection is in practicing the Dharma. And this statement is the Dharma protects those who practice it. By making sure that you don't do anything that's going to bring any harm. So even though there are times when it looks like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, you don't have to go along with them. And the fact that you can't stop them is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is directly over what you're doing and saying and thinking right now. And to make, when you decide that this is what you want to protect, you're taking an important stance. And it makes the best kind of difference that you can make.